Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. In a few moments, we're going to open your word and listen for your word and know that you are going to speak into our lives again. And we thank you for that. Thank you for this amazing promise that you make that Jesus came. And he came into this world to change this world and to change hearts, to change our lives. And as we walk through this series talking about he came, thank you that we are reminded that he still comes into our lives and he works there and he does all these amazing things. Because Lord Jesus, that's why you left heaven and came into this world, so that you could come into our hearts and lives and live within us. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Thank you for the greatest gift, the gift of life in all of its abundance. And now, Lord, as we open your word, please speak loud so that we can hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the second part of our series about Jesus coming into this world, he came. And today we're going to talk about he came into this world despite the chaos, and in spite of the chaos. Now, we all know about interruptions, right? And sometimes an interruption can be good. It's just that moment where, okay, I can stop for a second and just breathe and take a breather. But mostly interruptions are not fun because they kind of mess you up, and it's difficult to get back to where you were. I mean, you planned your whole retirement perfectly, and then there's a pandemic, and it's a huge interruption. Sit and work on that sermon, and the juices are flowing, and it's all great. Telephone rings. Half an hour later, you have no idea what you were writing. You planned to be with your family on Christmas, and you were so excited about that. And then all of a sudden, the number spiked, and from orange zone to red zone to lockdown, and you can't see your family. That's what interruptions do. They're not necessarily fun things, and often they can cause anxiety, they can cause sleepless nights, and they can even steal your joy. Now I don't know about you, but for me, the year 2020, it seems like one big interruption. I mean, just think of the year for a second. January, February, it was an amazing year, and things were flowing. And I'm just talking church-wise. I mean, this place was filled, and there was a vibrancy, and the ministries were working, and the new teams were getting together. And it was just an amazing, amazing place to be, and still is, and is still vibrant. But then February hit, and all of a sudden we're in lockdown, and we're not in church, and the doors are closed, and we're thinking, okay, it's 2 weeks, 4 weeks. And it became a month, and it became 2 months, and it's been 10 months in which things have been interrupted in so many ways. Our lives have been interrupted in so many ways, not just in the church, in your home life, in our school lives, in our university lives, in everything. And the thing is, we're not even sure where it's going and when it's going. We're not even sure what we're doing. Every day, things are just changing on a dime. And our lives have been impacted by all of these interruptions. Now, here's the thing. I have some good news for you. And the good news comes with the story of Advent and Christmas. This pandemic will end. And I'm not predicting anything, and I have no other insight than you have. But I know there's going to be a day that we will hug each other in this place again. There's going to be a day in which we are going to shake each other's hands again. There's going to be a day that we are going to be back in this church, and we are going to have fellowship like nobody's business. And there's going to be a day in which we are going to sing, and we're going to lift this roof off this building. Because the story of Christmas says that Jesus came despite the chaos, And despite the disruptions, he came to fulfill God's plans for us. And now to explain this, I want to take you to three stories this morning. First story, I'm not going to read the passage again because we read it last week, and you're going to go read it again. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. Story of Mary and Joseph. Now, if there were two young people who knew all about lives being interrupted, it was Mary and Joseph. Just think how it starts with this untimely pregnancy in which they had no part. But how do you sell that? In a small town like Nazareth. Yeah, right. Godly impregnated. Imagine the interruption and the chaos in their lives and in their families' lives. Didn't end there. All of a sudden, they have to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to go be counted in the census, despite the fact that this young woman, Mary, is at the end of her pregnancy. And the life is just interrupted. To crown it all, when they get to Bethlehem, in a moment when a clean room and a warm bed is needed most, there is none for them. You ask them about chaos and interruption, and they could tell you everything about that. But for a moment, I want you to just think with me about Mary. Because Luke chapter 2, verse 19, we read it last week, says, Mary treasured all of this and pondered about it in her heart. See, in all of the chaos, in all of the interruption, Mary knew. This world had no place for her son, but it would be okay. Because he came. And he would find a place in the hearts of his children. Mary knew that she and Joseph were far away from their home when they were there in Egypt as well. But she knew that they would be okay because he came and he was even further away from his house. Mary knew that this world had no bed for her son. But she knew that all would be okay because he would be the one who would say, the foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not even have a place to lay his head. But that's why he came. So that when we hit these interruptions and it feels like chaos and it feels like our whole world is upside down, we can remember that moment when they were interrupted, but they were interrupted so that he could come and change our lives forever. But let's not stop the story there. Let me take you to the second story that I want to talk to you about this morning. We find this in Matthew. Now, when Matthew talks about the birth of Jesus, he just comes from a completely different angle. He doesn't start with a manger and the angels doesn't even have them there. Matthew starts with a genealogy. Not something that you would necessarily sit and read at your Christmas tree on Christmas Eve with your grandchildren. He only gets to the Magi and the star after he's done a whole story full of just names. But I want you to read that with me for a second because I want to show you something amazing. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 to 3 and then 5 and 6 and then later verse 16. Now listen carefully to this. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, the translation says the Messiah. No. In Greek, it says, Biblos Kinesios Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Now, listen carefully. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, a twin, whose mother was Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. And he goes on like this for 16 verses. Not going to read all of that. Skip to verse 5 and 6 with me. I want to show you something. Now, Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. And Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, and this is such a tongue-in-cheek moment, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Doesn't say her name, doesn't say she was David's wife. And I know right now you're saying, okay, Aubrey, can you just stop this? Can you get to the good stuff? Let's get to the Magi, because I'm sure that's where you want to go. But that's not where I want to go. The reason for Matthew writing all these names is because Matthew wants to prove a point, and I'm going to show you that in a second. Matthew wants to say, despite of the chaos, and in the midst of the chaos, he came to change this world. Because if you read this, and that's why I just chose these verses, because they are the ones that are the focal point for Matthew. When you read this, you'll see that Jesus came into this world not because of his ancestors, but actually despite of his ancestors. Just think of this for a second with me. Do you remember who Tamar was? Tamar was the one who was rejected. She was a Philistine woman who was married to Judah's son. Her husband died. The law said one of his other sons had to marry her and have children with her. They didn't want to do that. So here's the single widow, and you know that happened to those in those days. They had nothing to care for them. So what did Tamar do? She sat next to the street, this abandoned woman, and she disguised herself as a prostitute, and then her father-in-law Judah came past. And he solicited her, and then he made two babies, or a twin with her, called Perez and Zerah. That's Tamar, part of his ancestors. Chaos. Do you remember Rahab? Who was Rahab? She was the prostitute who was a Canaanite woman in Jericho. She was the mother of Boaz. Who was Ruth? Ruth was the immigrant that came from Moab. And this woman, she would marry Boaz. And from her would come Obed, and from him would come Jesse, the father of David. And then it speaks about David. And who was David? An adulterer. Who was Solomon? He was a womanizer. And it goes on and on. And the story's point says, despite all of this chaos, despite all of these interruptions, God promised that Jesus would come, and came, he came. That's why verse 16, there is this beautiful moment when it says, and Jacob was the father of Joseph. Joseph was the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who was called Christos, Christ. The anointed one, God's anointed one, the one that God said that would come and who came, the one who would come and who would bring salvation, the one who would be there despite the chaos. Because in spite of sin, he came. Despite of racism and sexism, he came. Though the world forgot God, God didn't forget the world. In spite of the pandemonium, he came. You see, that's what Matthew tries to tell us. That even the chaos, even the interruptions, can never stop God from doing what God set out to do and to fulfill his plans for us. Now to end, there's one more story that I want you to think of. And that story is our story. And there are 66 books written about us. And in these times of sleepless nights and of high stress, can I remind you of something? The one who takes care of everything is Jesus. The one who came in spite of the chaos and the interruptions and the struggles and the messes. And can I invite you to hold on to that? In that moment when maybe you get the worst news of your life, And you don't know what to do with that. Can I invite you to remember that he came? And that you can say, Lord, I need you. In that moment when you stand next to an open grave in silence and you don't know what to do because this loss is so huge, can I remind you that he came? And in that moment you can say, Lord, can you just lift me up? In that moment when it feels like your heart wants to break because you had this wonderful thing planned and you were thinking of Christmas time and wanting to spend time with loved ones and we can't, and you feel it's just too much, that you can remember that he came in Christmas so that you can say, can you just get me through this? When it seems like your whole world is just falling apart, he came so that you can say, Lord, can you encourage me? Because the thing is this, my friends, in this world, we will have moments of chaos and interruptions, but it's how we learn to live through them. And maybe the best example is a man who lived through all of that called David. And maybe he can give us a little bit of advice. Psalm 11, verse 3 says these very interesting words. It asks a question. It says, when the foundations for good collapse, what can good people do? Isn't that the question? What happens when these interruptions come and the foundations for good, all of these things that we knew and was part of our life, when they just collapse, what is the godly response to interruptions and to struggles and to chaos? David gives the answer. Actually, he makes a declaration in verse 4. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord sits on his throne in heaven. And see, there's the answer. When everything is shaken in this world and our world is shaken up, God is unshaken. And nothing can prevent the plans that God has for you and for me and for this world. It cannot be shaken. Do you want an example? Do you remember Joseph? Think of his life. How interrupted. His brother sold him as a slave. He landed in Egypt and fell into prison in Egypt. There was a man called Moses. He had to run for his life and then had to tend sheep in the wilderness for how long? There was this young man called Daniel, brilliant young man, who was sold away into exile. Imagine the chaos and the interruptions in their lives. And who would ever think that Joseph, the prisoner, would become Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt? Who would ever have thought that the time in the wilderness with the sheep would prepare Moses for the time that he would have to spend 40 years in the wilderness with God's people, leading them to a promised land? Who would have ever thought that the captive would become the king's counselor through the chaos and the interruptions? And then when this world murdered Jesus, nailed him to a cross, and his followers asked the question, what do good people do when the foundations for good are crumbling? God answered with a huge declaration. The earth shook, and that stone rolled away, and that grave was empty. And God said, the Lord is in his holy temple. And the Lord sits on his throne in heaven. There is nothing that can change the plans that God has for you and me. No interruption, no chaos. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Because you see, my friends, he came. And to this day, he still changes prisoners into princes. captives into counselors, and dark Fridays into Sundays. Because that's why Jesus came. Despite of the chaos, he came for you and me. Amen. Thank you, Father God, that we are so privileged, that we know that you have plans for our lives, and nothing in this world can interrupt that. Nothing in this world, despite chaos and whatever comes, can ever change that. Thank you that when the foundations for good are crumbling, you are sitting on your throne, and you, Lord, restore us, because nothing can change your plans. That's why Jesus came. Thank you above all, Lord Jesus, that you came and you made place and you took up habitation in our hearts. We love you and we adore you. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.